Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And joined by a giant YouTube play button that is just rewards us for getting a million subs. So thanks to everybody for getting us that. You can see it if you're on the video feed, if you're on the audio one, just imagine a lovely big gold rectangle thing that we're all
with
very proud of.
With our name on it, yeah.
Yes, it's a very beautiful thing. So for the podcast today, you might have hopefully already seen the news that me and Jules put out about the new patent that Sony have filed as to the PS5's backwards compatibility, which made us think we should do a whole thing nattering on about the future of the consoles and everything we know about the PS5 and the Xbox Scarlet. So, what do you guys know for now? Not that I haven't got all the notes, but what do you guys know off the top of your head in terms of what are you looking forward to?
Ooh, PS5 or Xbox Scarlet?
Either. You're an Xbox person.
Because for the Xbox thing, the rumor I heard was that we're going to get an Xbox for just streaming and an Xbox for hardware, which I actually think is maybe a good idea, like, because for the people who want like a lower price point, who can do everything on the cloud and all that sort of thing, it's a really cool concept, rather than paying like 500, 600 quid for a brand new console that has it all on hand. But yeah, the PS5 I actually don't know that much about, so I'd be interested to hear a bit more.
I think Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, has been out there a hell of a lot more, just saying like they're planning for it way more. Like, obviously Xbox has kind of been on the back foot for the majority of this generation, so there's a lot for them to play for. Rich, what do you think in terms of what you've heard?
I remember hearing about the discless Xbox. I think they might be trialing that with a variation of the Xbox One.
I will confirm all these things very soon.
That they said they're going to try one that was maybe streaming only, but I think that's a hybrid of streaming only / download only, which was something I remember back in media studies in sixth form debating as to whether that would be the case for this generation, to no disc, no physical, like no moving media, like I can't remember the word it's left me, but like, yeah, no moving parts, just all like solid state, all internet based.
Like a TV set-top box.
Basically, yeah, like they were going to go for that approach. And I've heard that they were doing that for potentially an Xbox One successor. As for the PS5, I just know that there are dev kits, and that's about
It's around.
Let's get to some facts, because everything that I'm going to cover from here till the end of the pod is all based on things that have been said and things that are concrete. So in terms of the streaming-only Xbox, that is apparently a reworked version of the Xbox One S. That's going to come later this year, and it'll be a streaming-only Xbox.
It'll be like a PlayStation TV-style thing. But in Xbox instead, which would be quite a good thing. If it's got Game Pass all and everything built in, like it's got a big hard drive in it, for example, then that's a fantastic
thing. I say streaming actually gets download only, that's the thing.
Yeah, I'd be so down for that though.
Like, yeah, that would be quite a good thing, yeah.
I think if they have a sizable enough hard drive, then you can get it, you can make that work.
And the price point was good as well.
Yeah.
If they made it like $150
I think ish. I mean,
depending on the actual hardware to process and run everything. But like,
well, the S is really good. Like, it does 4K, and it's like
the S is a fantastic
really
console. I can't dispute that completely. It's a great little system.
Plus, in terms of Game Pass, did you end up getting Game Pass?
I tried it for a bit, but
was
then
it
I
with
just,
Sea of Thieves?
The whole
world did.
I can't remember what I got it for, but something inspired me to buy it for a little bit, and I like dabbled with a few things. Mm-hmm. But then I just didn't renew it, or I did, and I was like, give me my money back, and cancelled it. But yeah,
see, I got it to try with Sea of Thieves, and I ended up getting it back. I can't think what it was for, but I think as an overall service, it doesn't get the due that it's deserved. Like, it's such a great library of stuff.
It is,
and it works so well. And they keep it updated really regularly as well. So there is that. And then in terms of what Ash said about the two Xboxes, that's true as well. So there are it's true in as much as people have said
it's
on
said,
insider
yeah.
reports, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, basically this stems from Phil Spencer talking at E3 last year, who said that they're working on the new Xbox consoles, and he used plural. And so a lot of people went, went, I wonder what that means.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of reports that sort of detailed this. One comes from insider, this guy called Brad Sams, who broke down the fact that Xbox Scarlet, the codename that we've been using, is actually for a family of consoles, and it's for two systems. And their two codenames are Lockhart and Anaconda.
Oh my God, Anaconda!
Anaconda?
Don't
see, that is immediately what I thought of, and I was like, that's not a good tech name.
You call, you call it Lockhart as well. It could be a console that says it's really good, but in reality isn't actually that
maybe
good.
So you've got they're just like the code name, same thing as what Scorpio used to be for the Xbox One X and all that kind of stuff.
As I said in the video, they sound a lot cooler now.
Yes,
when they reveal the real names, I think they'll sound dull as anything.
Probably, as long as it's not another Xbox One, then it's Xbox Two.
I fully want an Xbox Anaconda.
Fusion.
It's just something like that.
I want
so,
the 720.
I think they could. There's a weird amount of connectivity with the 720 because people always expected it to be that after the 360.
To be honest, I'm more gutted that they didn't call the Xbox One X the Xbox One Elite to echo the Elite 360, which is like that I have, that I absolutely love.
What about the next box? one of them?
God, no.
Is this pod finished? Because I'm going to...
No, you're definitely staying.
I'm going.
This is an introductory segment to the level of bull poop that we will have. Anyway, so yeah, Brad Sams basically did this whole report about the family of systems thing, that there's two real Xboxes, and then Windows Central dove into that as well, and just said that, yeah, they're doing Lockhart and Anaconda. Lockhart is the one that's meant to be the casual console, assumedly. Yeah.
Okay.
But it'll match the level of power, the hardware that the Xbox One X has. So they're at least...
That makes sense.
Yeah, so their entry-level thing for the next generation is where they're leaving off this gen.
Well, that's a great
makes sense.
Thing because obviously people do feel shortchanged. Mm-hmm. There are a few of us in the office actually.
I know that
Ewan's concerned about jumping onto the new generation straight away. Mm-hmm. I know I am as well because I think other than the Switch, and that was still a good, X number of months, and I've never jumped on a generation like instantly. But
right.
The idea that having a launch console that might not be that good is always turned me off a bit. Like if I end up with. Because I'll obviously go for a PlayStation. But if I ended up with the PlayStation 5 that was more like an Xbox One original, which is an ugly piece of horrible stuff.
Just a hatred from camp PlayStation.
I'm not really camp PlayStation. That was Xbox last gen. Just visually and just as a system.
I know what you mean.
The Xbox One was
big black
very nice. But if they're going to be going in and they're going to be saying, right, this is how games should be played rather than do... what could be a half-step console where everyone looks at it and goes, well, why wasn't this here in the first place?
Yeah.
If that's the approach they're taking going into this generation, then absolutely top marks to Microsoft.
So it seems that's the thing. Because, when they were getting out there promoting the Xbox One X, it was always this is for serious gamers and this is for people who want the premium option and it's optional and all that kind of thing. So it seems like the kickoff of the next generation will have these two systems. So you'll have the one that's for everybody, quote-unquote, which is whatever Lockhart's going to be. And then they're going to do the next iteration of the premium thing, which is what Anaconda is.
Yeah.
So if you want the big old Nicki Minaj sized thing.
You want that?
Then that's yours. You want the Anaconda. So there is a bit of that. But it seems like that's the thing. They're embracing the way that we've sort of seen this half step approach to the console cycle this gen, which is obviously PS4, PS4
Pro. So
rather
than making it a half step, they say, here, you can have either.
You have two SKUs, assumedly both at launch as well, and then I guess you just pick whichever one you want.
Well, I was going to say, to follow on from the idea of them doing new Xbox Ones, maybe they'll release this driveless Xbox One alongside the Xbox Scarlet family, kind of in the same way they released that. The Xbox 360C they released when they did the Xbox One, the one that styled like an Xbox One.
Okay.
That nobody bought.
I don't think I know
what
that is.
Do you not remember that? They have the 360, they have the S.
Uh-huh.
And then when they released or revealed the Xbox One, they were like, hey, we're doing one that kind of looks like an
Xbox
One
as well. Actually, sorry,
like maybe they'll release an Xbox, like a legacy system, basically.
Yes.
Like they're instantly doing an Xbox One Mini as soon as the new one comes out, maybe.
I think it's worth talking about, because that's a nice little thing just to quickly bring up. Like I said, me and Jules already covered the backwards compatibility thing, but we can quickly talk about that because that factors into a lot of the rumors that the new Lockhart, Anaconda, whatever, will respect the Xbox as a legacy. Like we'll treat it like it'll play original Xbox games and 360 stuff. Phil Spencer's been out there talking about that he wants to respect people's purchases, which makes the most sense.
That is great.
What do you guys think in terms of that? Have you gone back to older Xbox stuff? And do you see yourself playing a family of games?
I do. I play old games most of the time because I'm catching up all the time. But I like playing old games. I like having the option to go back to old games. I like being able to buy 360 games and knowing you can whack them in and get that same experience again on your newer system. That's really good. Put in Alien Colonial Marines from the 360.
Oh, with the Colonial Marines.
Yeah, have a nice time
every day.
As somebody that still has a 360 and didn't get a one, I can't imagine what it must be like to get rid of your old console and having this massive library of games you literally can't play.
I think that it was assumed, when they made the switch from the PS3 to the PS4, I'm sure it was a Sony rep was people don't play old games, and it was there's obviously truth to that, but
that's
there is also
level level kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Quote,
like
it? Yeah.
There is also like a, you know, a part like a, there's a way to respect people, like Spencer said, a way to respect people's purchases. Yeah. And people like having a legacy and an entire library of games.
People so, just like having know. Loads of games. There's yeah, yeah quite exactly. Like looking at your bookshelf full of games, thinking I can play every single one
yeah.
of them.
Plus, I mean, that's like yeah, one of the biggest reasons that a lot of people game on PC is like you can have a whole
because
library.
There's no generational gap because yeah, I actually yeah. have a library of stuff I can run that boots through DOS, mm-hmm. like Doom, playing through to like the brand new stuff. It's all there in one place, mm-hmm. and that's basically what the Xbox is delivering, which is, you know, you can't falter it.
No.
You cannot falter it.
Plus, we've been leaning a lot more into licensed stuff as well this generation. Like, you're buying a license for that game and you just download it across a couple of different systems. Like, on the PlayStation side, if you already own something like Hotline Miami, you jump to the Vita and you can just download it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I like that you're buying a game forever. You're buying a license.
Again, the same on Windows as well. Mm. When you get an Xbox game that's an exclusive, you get to play it on Windows as well. I mean, mm-hmm. it might only be because I've only had Cuphead on that state and the Microsoft Store on PC isn't very good in that state. It doesn't run very well. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it is better for probably other titles as well. But like the fact you've got that as well, mm-hmm. play it on either or system. Like people who've got an Xbox and maybe a not very good laptop, but they can still take Forza with them or mm-hmm. whatever yeah. they want to play, they can still have that. That's fantastic.
So that's the thing. I think they're going to move into this stuff. Like obviously Xbox, Phil Spencer's been out there talking about it a lot more. If we just dip quickly into the news that me and Jules did, it seems like Sony's doing the same thing. The patent that they filed is discussing CPUs being emulated on other CPUs. Whatever the PS5 is going to be will assumedly support older generations of hardware. And so So the assumption is that you'll be able to just put a PlayStation PS1 disc into the new PS5 and it would work.
Oh,
purely speculative territory.
I would live for that.
That's
so
what the patent
much.
Seems to indicate, which would be phenomenal.
Just being able to play all the old like PS1 fighting games just instantly.
It's
like,
a no-brainer, really. Like, because when you look at like Sony as dominating this generation, the two big shortfalls they've had was A, was the lack of backwards compatibility, and B, was their sort of horrible approach to cross-platform play, which obviously is dying out with Fortnite and now Rocket League.
Yep.
Hopefully that will die away, fizzle away, maybe entirely with the PS5, which would make a lot of sense. They can go, okay, you know, we messed up with that with the PS4. Here we go, here's the PS5, everything's fine. And then if they drop the they drop backwards compatibility on that as well, not to put the Xbox down again, but then it's like you've got this almost perfect system because you have potentially the legacy stuff as well. If you go back and you didn't play God of War, you didn't play Last of Us, I can play this on the PS5 now as well.
Yeah,
you've literally
it's
got a system that can do anything. And it would, and I think with how successful Microsoft have been, Sony must have looked at that and gone, okay, maybe we should do this.
Totally. I mean, you'll always see like the market leader will get way more business minded, corporate minded, because they know like PS4 was so far in the lead that they don't need to even
they
worry.
They can just sort of sit there and go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, they can just sit back and go, you'll buy a remaster, you'll buy this re-release. We don't need to worry about supporting the disc you already have, because we'll sell you the new one. Whereas that was like the big gap that Xbox seized on and said, well, actually, we'll just make it so we'll honor what you already have. And that proved itself to be a worthwhile thing.
But is that going to kill out remakes in the long run? Because people are going to think, well, are we going to invest our money into making new versions of old things when we're giving you something where you can play the old things?
Well, that's well gone.
So I was literally going to mention that.
Yes.
I think after this, the bundle, the massive remasters and remakes we've had versus backwards compatibility, I think big companies have realized that players don't see remasters and remakes as a replacement for the old one. Because I know that we had this debate about Spyro, about whether like the new one is better than the last one.
Did that?
I can't even think about Spyro anymore.
You would say like that basically replaces it, whereas something like, say, Resident Evil 2 is a completely different game.
Yes.
Like, people will happily play the remaster of something, but then also think, but I kind of want to go back and play the original one.
Well, that's why I was going to say, when you said about what does it mean for remasters and remakes, like, I think that's why we're seeing the likes of the Crash trilogy, the Spyro trilogy, like something like Resi 2, like these games that are so demonstrably something new that you can go and check out. And like that's the kind of their way of still being able to sell you something new. Mm. But hey, if you happen to own the original, you can just put it in and you'll play it. And then there's a benefit to getting the new one as well.
I can't remember which remaster it was specifically. I think it might, the comments will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it might have been something like BioShock when they remastered those on Steam. When you bought the new one, you got the old one as well.
I think I remember that, the HD trilogy thing.
A remaster of some kind did that. I can't remember if it was BioShock, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. But maybe that's something they'll do, because obviously, because on Xbox, you can buy 360 games on the store on Xbox One. So maybe that would
and
mean
Xbox
if you...
Games.
Well, yeah, exactly.
All
but maybe that means if Microsoft turn around and go, hey, we've got a library of PS1, PS2, PS3, and PS4 games on the PS5, they're obviously adding to it as time goes on. They won't get everything on there in one go. But maybe if you bought, say, the Crash and Saints Trilogy Remastered, you buy Spyro Reignited, you get the PS1 copies as well, just bundled in with it to give you the best of both worlds, rather than give you the... rather than making you choose, if you buy the newer one, you get the old one.
But it's like that license thing again.
Wouldn't work
like,
the other way around, yeah. But like, maybe that would be something that they could do to shift more copies of like old games as well.
I think Dishonored did that. Dishonored 2. When you bought Dishonored 2, this is a bit of a different tangent, but something that was also good. When you bought Dishonored 2, you get Dishonored Definitive Edition as well. So
you'd
be able to play
with Bayonetta. Bayonetta 2.
That was
so like the old console games, you get bundled in with the new one, which is actually quite a nice way.
Either way.
It's digital download and stuff.
Yeah, it speaks to a need, like I said, like what Spencer said, to respect the consumer and try and give you respect the legacy of a certain franchise and give you access to those old games. That's something that is like, if you go off the leaked patent and what Phil Spencer's been saying, it seems that both systems, the PS5 and the Xbox, whatever, Anaconda or Lockhart, will both.
I'm just going to use
Scarlet because that's kind of both. Will assumedly, support the entire past generation of stuff, which lines up with a lot of the industry conversations around how the next generation of consoles is the last one, and we'll just be buying this ultimate system and we're done, and then you'll just kind of support it from there.
What do you think that for this one for PS5 and Xbox?
That's what the general conversation
is. We did a podcast, shameless plug, a while ago, where we did debate the idea of whether consoles become more like PCs or whether consoles will become the final system. Like, is this the last generation of consoles?
Well, this is a perfect segue because another thing that Microsoft are working on is called Project xCloud, which is their way of basically they're not giving up on streaming yet. And so whatever your own personal thoughts on streaming, every time I've tried it, it's always been laggy. But the thing that they're working on is Project xCloud, which is Phil Spencer's talked about. It's their way. Phil Spencer's head of Xbox, by the way, if I haven't mentioned that to anybody.
I think you have.
Yes, I love that man. He's great. But he basically said that they're working on this massive streaming technology that let you play Xbox games on everything from phones to TVs to whatever.
They'll just stream them out.
That'd be good.
And so they want Xbox to be ostensibly Netflix or a service. And you'll not be thinking of it in terms of a console brand. You're just thinking of it as a platform, as a streaming service.
So maybe the Xbox Scarlet will take the naming conventions of a full reboot and just be called the Xbox.
That's kind of the thing.
I do as well, to be honest.
I wouldn't be too surprised if the PS5 is just called PlayStation, but the S is a 5. And it's just like, it's PlayStation 5, but also...
How did I not think of that?
The ultimate PlayStation.
Play 5 Station.
So that seems to be at least where Microsoft are going. On the Sony side, they initially bought a hell of a lot. They bought stock in Gaikai, which is like this big streaming company, I think out of Japan. And that was meant to be what PlayStation Now was. So you just log on, you stream your games in. And then obviously they were very laggy. If you were playing a fighting game or something that was timing heavy, it wasn't very easy to play. And they ended up just relenting on it and just letting you download the game instead because that's what you can do on Xbox at the minute. But it seems like Xbox are the ones that are leading with streaming stuff next gen. And so even if you bought an Xbox One S, the discless one, that's hopefully coming the end of this year, you could still stream new games in, assumedly, through the service.
I think downloads is definitely the thing that we like proper downloads.
For me it is,
I think that maybe serves a need for people who buy a smaller capacity console, like, because I'm rocking a 500 gig PS4 and it's a pain whenever I get a new game. I don't know how long Red Dead 2 is going to be on there for, because I don't
play
it.
100 gig?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, maybe that'll be the means of saying, okay, you could go out and buy another... Like, you can buy... Thankfully, they've made it so, like, box-standard USB hard drives just work with consoles now. Thank you, Sony and Microsoft, for doing that. Maybe that will be the thing. It's like, okay, you've run out of space. Like, maybe on the same service, like, you pay for Game Pass. It's like, oh, you want to play this, but you've run out of space. Do you want to delete anything? No? Stream it then.
It seems to be that that's the thing that they're leading with. But Spencer also followed up by saying that he doesn't expect this to immediately take over. He said that they're planning for the future. And he said it'll be years before this is the primary way that people are playing. But he said we need to think about the future. And we're thinking about 5 to 10 year views on where things can go.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Go.
I think that's really good. Always look for the big picture and everything. Yes. But because Xbox does need to catch up a little bit with PlayStation, that worries me slightly that people won't hop on board with it straight away because they'll be thinking, this isn't what I want right now. And then they still get like pushed out of the market. That's not going to happen because it's Xbox.
I think it's weird because there's all this stuff. There's all this innovative stuff on the hardware side. And at no point is anyone... I mean, I was going to say, at no point is anyone talking about games. Now, Microsoft did buy Obsidian and InXile, and they have new IPs coming, assumedly just to Xbox.
Yeah.
Even though, what do you call it, Outer Worlds is still coming to PS4.
It's because they were already quite far through that by the time.
But it's totally within, like, you know, they got bought out. Microsoft could easily be like, if you want to play the new quote unquote Fallout, you come to Xbox. They could easily put that foot down. It's like when they bought Minecraft and they still let it be on everything.
Yeah,
it's like,
I do respect them for it, but I'm thinking if
this was like EA or Activision, they would have completely gone down the monetary route and just severed everything and just said, if you want to play this, you play it on the service.
That's the Epic Games Store. It's literally Epic Games Store with what they're doing right now. Yeah,
but that's the larger question: is games, because I'll mention a couple of PS5 games there, because we've already done a video on PS5 games in development.
Plug, plug, plug.
But 1 million subscribers. But it doesn't seem like Xbox have got a whole lot out there other than these are the guys that we're working with next gen. We don't have any, you know, potential screenshots or who's working on what. What do you guys think of VR? Because VR was something that...
Where's Josh? Where is he?
I know Big Bongo Brown is working on something
bongo
else.
Bongo goggles.
But, or bongo gogs. But yeah, so basically there's going to be a PSVR 2. We kind of know that that's coming.
That makes a lot of sense. Yes. I think I respect Microsoft with looking at VR and going, do you know what? There's no point in us really getting involved in this. Because in the same way that when Sony and Microsoft both jumped on the motion control gimmick with the Wii, I think they unknowingly dropped themselves into a big hole. They had no idea how deep it was and how hard it would be to get out of it. So I think when PlayStation took the plunge with VR, and it has become moderately successful.
Yeah.
Like it's not
very
something
slow
that's,
build.
It's not something that's come and it's died. It might maybe take the same approach Kinect did with the Xbox One, where they brought it in and then just went, okay, nobody cares, never mind, let's get rid of it.
They've said a few times that they're committed to PSVR, and it seems like stuff like Astrobot and Resident Evil 7, like there are a handful of games that are totally worth buying the system for.
Maybe they might have a new studio. Maybe that new studio that's been in talking about maybe a VR specific studio, or at least something that will do experiences that you can play in VR as well, like Resident Evil 7.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, literally on the Xbox side, I did write the name of the guy down, but I forget what it was now. Mike Nichols, who's the Xbox chief marketing officer, literally just said, we have no plans for VR. So as far as Xbox are concerned,
I think that's fair enough. I think they'd be wasting a lot of money.
Thing is, though, if you Google HoloLens, they were initially going to go all in on this. They had a whole E3 demo where they had a guy with the HoloLens goggles on, and he was building something in Minecraft.
I mean,
VR.
I've got to admit, that was very cool.
It was neat.
It was very cool.
I think a lot of it was revealed to be fake.
I honestly think, my throat went... I think talking about Xbox about 10 years in the future and this whole streaming thing, I actually really do think VR is going to be the future of gaming, but not yet. Like, it needs so much work before it gets to somewhere where it's widely consumable and affordable and where people want, like, the sweaty mask strapped to their face. Like, they need something that, like, sits better and stuff. But, like, watching science fiction films, they're all playing VR. So, I just think it's an immersive experience that just needs building and growing, and maybe if they invested in that, they would be market leaders in a chunk of years.
That's the thing. You've got the two sides of it. You've got Sony saying, we see something here, we're experimenting with it, we put the VR out, and we've seen like moderate sales or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're on the other side, you've got Xbox just saying, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
So like one company believes and the other one doesn't.
I mean, the guy saying there might be absolutely nothing in VR, I think he is a bit wrong on that. I just more think for the fact that they're not trying to pursue it and like potentially like waste a load of money. And
I guess we don't have plans. Really there could
be plans. Exactly. But like, I find it's fair that they're leaving the VR stuff to PlayStation. They're leaving the VR stuff to PC. It's like, we don't need to really get involved in this. Mm-hmm. Although I am still waiting for the Switch VR headset.
Yeah,
it does make a lot of sense.
First person Mario. Why not?
I mean, Mario Kart VR exists in Japan.
Oh God, yeah.
The Rainbow Road would be traumatic like in VR. Like,
it's not. It's both good and bad. It's worth mentioning another quick thing on the hardware side, because again, Phil Spencer, these aren't all from the same interview. This is just things that I combed that I found online. But basically, Phil Spencer's been around like on a whole bunch of different interviews talking about something that they would prioritize with the new Xbox would be load times and frame rates. Because he said that he's aware that, like, you know, one of the biggest reasons that people game on consoles initially was you get home, you put the disc in, you play.
Yeah.
And as this generation especially has proven, that is not the case. And so you're waiting for hours
and
hours.
Oh my God, 2 days for Red Dead Redemption to download over my internet. Like, it was bad
internet. Did you buy it digitally?
I bought it digitally 2 days.
I had to download it like a day early so I'd get it for midnight. Yeah, but it's like ridiculous. Yeah, and so that's like a lot of people have been referring to that as the console promise. I did a video about it. It's a general sort of thing online that the way that the industry went has got away from a lot of the big reasons why people game on consoles. And so Spencer said that going into the next gen, they're going to look to prioritizing that stuff. Yeah. And we've seen that in some games, like Kingdom Hearts 3 preloads its first level for you. So like I think it's quite a small download, like in relative terms. It's like a gig or something. And then you get to have that whole like Athens or Mount Olympus level while the rest of the game loads behind you. Perfect. And they hope that
which does happen with some games. Yes. There are points where it says this is playable. Like for example, with a Black Ops 4 as an example, like recently, but like the first thing it downloaded was Blackout because it was the assumption that you want to play Blackout.
A couple games.
So when I downloaded it on Battle.net the day before it came out, it was like, okay, now it's playable. You can go and play Blackout, but not multiplayer zombies yet.
Right.
But like they maybe that would be the case, but or alternatively would be the potential like the actual inputs, the actual software, what you're going to get it on, because obviously Blu-ray discs I think are going to stick because they're so
they're
cheap
big enough
to make and they're cheap. But then obviously when you look at something like the Switch using a proprietary cartridge, as much as they are more expensive, they are a damn sight faster, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because there's always been that idea as to maybe, because obviously everything's going SSD now. If you know anything about storage, everything's SSD. But maybe that'll be something that they'll go down. Maybe they say, hey, you can buy it on a disc, or you can pay a little bit more and get it on an SSD, and you can just bung it in the front of your system, and then it'll be like super quick.
That would make sense if you look at the whole like DVD to Blu-ray thing that has happened. Everyone's shifted to Blu-rays. Yeah. It's high quality. It's still the same and stuff, but with the speed thing, that would be good. I keep hearing this. The thing is, with the disc whole preloading thing, I remember when that was you'd put it in your disc, it'd say ready to play. I had it with Alien Isolation. Put Alien Isolation in, it's like ready to play.
Did you play a good Aliens game?
Yes, I just don't talk about it. Colonial Marines.
I think.
Hold on.
I went in there,
ready to play.
Yes.
Got in, and it just all it had loaded was the pod that you get out of.
So I was literally
stuck in this room going, this is not a very good game. How do I get out?
Like, it's totally worth addressing that some games go, hey, you can play it right now. And then you load in, and it's a menu just saying, still installing. And it's that's some pod.
I had to Google it. I was like, how do I get out of the pod?
Like, well, in some games, you put it in, and it just works. Like, I think Mortal Kombat. About 10, you just pung it in, and
it gives you a fight between Scorpion and Sub Zero.
Maybe it was just because I played it on a disc, and I put it in, and it was just, everything's there. I was like,
that's good.
Yeah.
I just assumed that I'd have to install it. But okay.
I think hopefully Microsoft will throw their weight around with stuff like that, because if they're going to be out there saying like, hey, you buy an Xbox, you play like faster or something, then they need to get in touch with the publishers and the developers to make sure that's the case.
Yeah.
Because one of the best things about last gen was that if you say there was a game that went online on the Xbox side, if it was on the Xbox Live Arcade, you were guaranteed a demo, so you could always play it. And stuff that would release
one of the
on
things
the...
like, you had to have a demo to get the game on the store.
Totally. And like if something was on the PS3 side, you would like, for me, I was like, I'll buy everything. I would play on the PS3 and then there's no demo, but initially you fire the Xbox up, you can play it. And that was them literally mandating that stuff.
I feel like that might be a small reason as to why Resident Evil 2 has done so well, because of that demo. Because it was played, was it like 2-3 million times in the first day? I only got it because I played the demo. I think Rachel only got it because she played the demo. I think a lot of people have only got it because they played the demo. It's like, it definitely needs to be done. Like, I was looking at Sekiro to see whether like it was being ported to PC by another company. I'm still debating where I'm going to get the game later on this year. But like, one of the questions was, is there a demo? And it's like, why are people still asking that? Because usually the answer is a definitive no. Why? Like, is it
well, they
why
went away
they
because
should bring that back.
Yeah, totally. It's
in
I mean,
a magazine with like a little thing. Demo in the thing disc, you can take it out. That one, like
the
that.
Best. I mean, that's if they're going to embrace the past generations of systems, then they can totally go back into that.
Yeah.
And make sure that like demos are mandated, because demos only benefit the consumer, which is one of the reasons they went away, because they would rather you fall back on day one purchases based on advertising and hype, which is just, I mean, that's a cynical way to look at it, but it's completely the way that
it is. Just giving somebody half an hour in a game that they've never ever played, in a series they've never ever played, and it makes them buy. It's like, there is something here. How have you forgotten that?
Actually, as I said that, I was being incredibly cynical about that. There is a reality to dev times, that sometimes there just isn't a vertical slice, a playable chunk of a game that's worth siphoning off, and sometimes their time is best spent
polishing the full product. They put that a week out, I mean, when did the demo come out for Resi 2? Is it like 2-3 weeks before?
God, like a month before or something?
It's like, if they did it that soon, that close to release, that's all they need. If they did it too early, people would lose interest.
Well, that's
too
thing.
Late, like, no one will play it.
Yeah, the one-shot demo, like, you're pretty much playing the full version. Like, they changed a couple of the items around, but you're pretty much playing the full one.
Like, this is literally what the game is like. We're not going to try and, like, mess you about with it.
It's like, hey, you want more? Did pay? And there, there you go.
It. Yeah.
It's
like,
the best way to go.
That's why I'm here. You've had a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of games, we might as well end on this. That's the overall thing is that we've talked about hardware for like the whole time. But do you guys think, would you consider investing in this? Or are you waiting until the games? Because I think that they need both sides of the coin.
I mean, yeah, I'd wait till the games. Games. Mm-hmm. But then again, if they turn around and say, we're doing the Play 5-tation that can play every single game.
You see Play 5 and you're like, oh, yes. Look at that font.
I'll take it.
They could play up on that so much. Play 5, and then it's like, you can play 5 different consoles.
Well, they'll do all of that.
Sony. Our address is on the website. Send us a check. But like, yeah, if they turn around and said, we're going to give you every single platform under the sun, like I've still got PS1 and PS2 games, mm-hmm. like that would kind of swing me more to a sale before knowing what games would be on there, because of like Sony knowing that they're putting a lot of eggs in their first party baskets, that their game line will be stellar.
Sony have really realized this generation that they have a whole like a plethora of incredible devs that they can just do a whole bunch of stuff in a row.
Their
like,
exclusives are ridiculous.
Yeah, this generation
make me buy a PlayStation. So like, yeah, PlayStation it works. Well, yeah.
But I think even if one of the assumptions leading into the Xbox One with the backwards compatibility thing was going to be this assumption that they would honor the legacy of Xbox, and that would be a major push for like their overall branding, because obviously this generation there hasn't been very many first party Xbox games that have been worth buying. But if you reject their advertising and just go, hey, we're Xbox, you're buying into a whole family of stuff. We're Xbox. And it's like, you know, like you have access to all the old games, all the original Halos, like Brute Force. Like you have all these great like hidden gems, all these games that people played growing up, and you buy into that. And so I think if they kind of posit it that way, even if they're a bit short on the first party front, they can just say, hey, this is the one Xbox you'll ever need, and then go play everything you've heard about.
Ash, you can play Morrowind again.
Yes. It's not that good anymore, but it was good.
No, but just remember then? It's nice.
Yeah, it was lush back then, before we realised it's all brown. But it was nice, wasn't it, at the time? Anyway, I think going forward, that it seems to be this whole family of consoles thing, or it seems to be this honouring the legacy thing.
I guess it's kind of like Apple with the iPods and the TVs and all that sort of thing. Yes. That's where consoles are going to go. It's just a really random end comment. Like that. It's like Apple. There you go. Insightful. But yeah.
Actually, I can drop a couple of things in. Again, we covered these on the PS5 games that are definitely in development. But in terms of just like, I don't know, palette wetters, there's one thing coming from ex-Rockstar and ex-Naughty Dog people who have teamed up. So it seems like
a new studio, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So they form like a new studio, and
is it
whatever
called
that is.
Star and Naughty.
It's not.
Dog.
Although Rock Dog would be pretty good.
Oh, Rock Dog.
Naughty Star.
Naughty
I don't think
Star.
That's
Naughty Star sounds a bit. Bit
it's not
bit
what you want.
Too naughty.
Sounds like a butthole.
Sounds like a Bongo game.
The Naughty Star.
It's Josh's favorite
Bongo
VR
studio.
But either way, at least Sony have kind of got like a first party lineup that's assumedly going to carry the momentum forward. Like we're still going to get The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
We're still going to get that stuff. I did actually. We might as well end on the release states, which I did have written down, but I've lost them off. Doesn't matter.
But then also, like on Microsoft's side, they've gone and they're like E3 just gone. They're like, look at all these studios we've just bought.
Yes,
like they've got something in the works. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll do maybe like something like Outer Worlds. As much as it's being released on everything, they might say, hey, here's some Xbox exclusive stuff.
Yeah. Like, okay, I have found my notes on the release date. So the weird thing is, trying to pin down the release dates for this, the rumors are all over the place. And within the same few sentences, I saw someone saying that it was definitely coming for Christmas 2019, and the next sentence was actually it's not coming until 2021. So the overall window of time seems to be from the earliest Christmas this year until 2021. Going back to those reports that I mentioned at the beginning, the one from Brad Sams and Windows Central, both those guys said 2020, with the PS5 being pegged at the earliest being 2019. But then Sony Interactive CEO John Codera said it would be 2021 when he spoke to, I think it was Wall Street Journal. All of this is backed up by Jason Schreier, who works for Kotaku, who said that the consoles are a long way off, but then he posited the same window of 2019 to 2021.
If I had to put my money on anything,
I'm saying next year.
I'd say next year.
2019, this Christmas coming, I think that's a bit of a stretch, especially since Sony aren't at E3.
Yes.
Because that's ideally when they would announce it to give people 5-6 months of hype to build up to it.
But they have their own thing then.
That's the thing.
Their PlayStation experience.
But that's in November.
True.
So my money, I mean, if Microsoft turned around at E3 this year and said, hey, here's the Xbox Anaconda.
No.
And Ash is there going, wait, that's all money. This is coming out this year. And then here's Sony in November saying, oh, this comes out. They're going to pull an Apple and go, this comes out
right
today.
Now. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I feel like that could happen. It'd be a really, really big stretch. But I personally put my money on them being announced this year. So it's Microsoft at E3 and Sony, whenever they decide to do the PlayStation experience, they might just turn and go, hey, we're doing it just before E3.
I think they'll ride it out. I think you'll get one last Christmas for the PS4 and PS5 will be next year.
And then they say, we're going to release them. Either they might pull out a Switch time frame, which is March.
Yes.
Or
Nintendo are in
They're in leagues, but I feel like it's going to be late 2020, but then we're going to know by the time we get to Christmas Day this year, we'll all be writing on our Christmas lists for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Anaconda next year.
But, Anaconda, don't what?
But.
What?
But. Hey. I really slowly got to that but.
No. No.
Call of Duty.
Yes.
That comes out again. Is it this year?
It'll be this year.
Rumored, Josh did another pod where he like laid out how it's going to be 2019, didn't it?
Yes.
And there's other things that are posited as next-gen experiences which have rumoured releases for
like
this
Cyberpunk,
generation.
Like Cyberpunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it could be this year.
Again, that's another plug to a pod.
Yeah, we'll definitely revisit this stuff. I think Cyberpunk is one of the biggest like unknown quantities in terms of just when CDPR want to drop it, because Marcin Iwinski has said that it'll support future hardware, i.e. the PS5 or the Xbox Scarlet or whatever it is. But if they hold off until 2020, then that makes Cyberpunk a launch game, which
will
at least work from launch.
Units.
Yeah, which is incredible.
I will buy it instantly if it's like a launch game. But also, because it should be 2020 for that game. It should be 2020 for that game because it's based on Cyberpunk 2020. So it would make sense.
That's a good point.
It would make a lot of sense, but also like it coming out this year would be some big energy.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would assume that Cyberpunk would drop this year, but then you would get this sort of like PS4 to PS Pro style uptick next year.
And yeah, I think we start to hit that valley of everything to be released twice.
Yeah, and you throw it in the PS5, it loads faster, the frame rate's smoother and all that kind of stuff, but their quality of life improvements, the guts of it can totally work on PS4.
It could just be like some big cloud over the eyes? Wool
over the face?
Wool, some sort of hidden eyeball maneuver where they are saying it's like a next-gen experience because of all this backwards compatibility, so it comes out on like PS4.
Yeah, you could kind of...
And it's like, whoa, but it works on PS5 too. Like, that's going to be...
That marketing voice is definitely the way that they're going to do it.
Would you like some Cyberpunk?
Perhaps. But either way, let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video version, or find us on social media if you're on any of the audio platforms. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Thank you for listening.
And joined by Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
And joined by the 1 million subscriber button.
Whoa!
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.